A lot happened in the world today, and we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed, people. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News, friends. Italy has granted asylum to the Afghan man who faced beheading for converting from Islam to Christianity. Bill Gates has expressed interest in setting up a similar program for people who convert to Mac. Rahman was accused of being Christian after authorities noticed he was the only man in Afghanistan wearing a striper T-shirt. This morning, the world experienced its first solar eclipse in 3 years. The White House hailed the three-minute absence of sunlight as further proof against global warming. Don't be thrown off by Sarah Silverman coming in. I know it's hard to focus on the funny. Singer Tom Jones. Wait, I want Sarah. You got to listen to this. Can you hear me? You can hear me, right? Yeah, you can hear it. Singer Tom Jones was knighted today at Buckingham Palace. His knight name is Sir Lots-a-Snatch.
No.
Come on! That's Mark Maron's Short Order News for tonight. How can you lose with Sir Lots-a-Snatch? How can you lose with that one? I can't believe it. You're here. You're in the studio. Can I introduce you?
I'm sorry.
Let me do it. Her movie Jesus is Magic comes out on DVD in June, right?
Yes.
Yes, I knew that. She's been seen on SNL, Mr. Show. She was in School of Rock. She was in The Aristocrat. She's on comedy stages around the country.
I was in a special two-part Star Trek Voyager in 97.
I remember that.
Really?
You look very good in the uniform. That was like one of your first big breaks, wasn't it, in the big TV business?
Yes.
You're doing a pilot for Comedy Central, and I've known you since you were a little girl.
Yeah.
I feel like have.
You really have.
Am I right?
Can I say, and I shouldn't even say this out loud, because one of my most embarrassing memories of myself involves you. And it's, you did nothing. It's so embarrassing that you know what? It's not going to get a big laugh or anything, which is going to make it 10 times more embarrassing.
That's all right.
It's not a funny thing, but.
But it's human.
I got way into poetry. I was doing stand-up, but I got way into poetry.
Yeah.
But I was also just like 18 or 19.
Right.
And I remember showing you a poem I'd written. It was so awful, but I really thought it was deep, and it was called, Tunnel of Like.
Really?
Yeah, Tunnel of Like.
What did I do?
You read it and you're very nice, and then you just looked at me and you're just like, Tunnel of Like.
Come on. Did I really do that?
No, but you didn't do anything wrong. It was so queer. That's what kids that age are supposed to do. They're supposed to feel very heartbroken.
But I wrote poetry. I guess I'm kind of embarrassed. Oh, we got 1 minute. There was another time. We'll talk more. I remember meeting. You remember when we did that gig at that discotheque in like New Hampshire, and I swept over at your house up in with your mom.
Yes.
And I met your dad. We went over to your dad's house and we had breakfast over there. Man, I remember that.
That was fun.
And we didn't sleep together or nothing.
It was a bowling alley.
We did I think we did two gigs. The one was a bowling alley and one was like a dance floor situation.
Yes. Yes.
And you were like 12 and I was like 23.
And there was that Boston comic.
Who was that?
Steve Trilling.
Steve Trilling with the big teeth. Hello,
yes.
How are you?
I don't know if I'm, you know how sometimes you remember something, but then maybe it was a dream?
Sure.
But.
It's been my whole last 2 years.
When I first did stand up when I was 17, at the, alright, I know I have to go, but Steve Trilling, I could have sworn, had very tiny teeth.
He did, and then he went and got all these big new choppers.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was rumored to have a very large thing. That was the thing.
Vagina?
Yeah, huge vagina on Steve Trilling. We're with Sarah Silverman. Obviously, we've just entered the Silverman zone. We'll be back in a second. Stay with us. It's 20 past.
And now more on Steve Trilling's teeth. With Mark Maron.
Oh, it's compelling. It's amazing. 23 past the hour. Jim and I are sitting here with Sarah Silverman from television and movies.
I did hear a great story. Is that okay for me to come right in and say?
Absolutely.
That's a short one.
It's a great segue. And now I'm supposed to go, will you please tell us the story?
No, it just didn't occur to me because it's not my story, but it's a great story.
Okay.
Which is a friend of mine named Randall was talking to some hot L.A. girl, woman, and he made some sarcastic comment about Scientology, and she said, "Oh, I'm studying Scientology." He was like, "Oh, really?" And she goes, "Yeah, I find Scientology to be fascinating." And then she went, "Oh, psychology."
That's it? That was the segue? Psychology? She just switched from Scientology to psychology?
No, that's what she was thinking. She was thinking psychology.
Ah.
That's what she...
She must have been really hot.
This is going terribly.
No, it's not.
Oh, really?
No, it's going great. Good. You can't judge something that quickly. How can you judge something that quickly? Do you know people who are Scientologists? Do you actually know any real ones? Have you worked with them?
Yeah, I worked with this one Scientologist, but he wasn't, he was really nice. I even tried to, once I heard he was a Scientologist, I tried to like pull it out of him we're in between shots, and I was like, I just need a direction in life. Like because I wanted a story or something, but yeah. He was just really nice. I never really
You wanted him to, you wanted him to lay the rap on you? Well, that's coincidental, because I can help you.
Wouldn't you?
I could give you some guidance. Wait, was Chris from Kansas, were you just taking pictures of Sarah with your phone? It's like, dude, he's calling his friend, dude, I'm gonna do this right now. You're not gonna believe I'm hanging out with. And just sending him back to wherever he send him back to. So look, what does this pilot shoot? First of all, let's go back, because we were talking about when we were younger and you were a little girl and I was a comedian, and we were traveling the road up in New Hampshire, and I met your mom and I met your dad, and I went to college with your sister, who's a rabbi.
Yes, moving to Israel with five children.
That's hardcore.
And they're gonna live on a kibbutz.
They just
adopted their second Ethiopian boy.
What, now, was he Jewish coming in? In terms, was he one of the Ethiopian Jews, or
really
did they make him
ethnically?
Jewish?
Ethnically?
Yeah.
No, no, well, they don't know. He was an orphanage. And he's actually four. So he's like, he speaks Amharic. He doesn't speak English. All of a sudden, he's in Jutin Mass. And every picture she emails me, and this isn't good for radio, but he looks like this.
That's great for radio.
Can you describe that?
Bill, will you take a picture of the face so we can put that up on the blog for people to see in relatively real time? You're really good at radio. A lot of people don't realize that.
Sorry, I gave up. I gave up in the end. Oh, man. 20 minutes to get my picture taken.
A lot of people don't utilize the power of their face on radio. It's weird. I think that it's good to do that.
Yeah.
I do. So, wait, now your sister's married to a guy who, when I was in college, was like the radical.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like everyone. Joseph was his name, right?
Yosef.
I
know.
Sorry.
Even better.
Yosef. And this guy was always like protesting, doing things, running around angrily, making political stands. And everybody knew him on campus.
Yeah, he had the Divest Now big thing coming
banner
out.
Banner hanging
his thing out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's a real, they both are big activists.
Are you political at all, really, do you think? Generally speaking,
I'm not apathetic,
right.
But I'm not political, in my comedy or even just in the way I'm educated. Oh, you fun. I mean, I got opinions.
Sure, man.
But I get them from others and from reading what I should think.
But, sometimes I think a lot of times.
But I read the right things that tell me the right things to think.
Absolutely. Reading feels like thinking. It's important. Yeah, it does. When I'm reading a book, I sometimes can't remember any of it. But when I'm doing it, I'm like, I'm a genius.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, when you're like me and you're a really slow reader, everything you read becomes the best thing you've ever read because it's such an accomplishment. Yeah. You really like absorb everything because there isn't much else.
I read almost everything as a self-help book, like whether it's a novel or whether it's like a book on political theory. I will see how it can change my life somehow, and that's the only way I can really approach things
that's
intellectually.
That's how Hitler did it.
Hey, wait a minute. Maybe there are big things in store for me. See, that's an interesting thing about things that you say, and I think we're going to talk about in a minute, is that even though you may not be political in your act, people sort of politicize you because you're provocative.
Yes, people politicize me, and I feel...
Weird? Like this? Like awkward?
Am I this boring? You need to put music on in the background?
No, we're going
to
go on a break. We're with Sarah Silverman. Stay with us. About 29 past.
T's and U's, Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. 35 past the hour. Our guest is Sarah Silverman, comedian, actress, provocateur, Sarah Silverman. We're talking about, what were we talking about when we left? Oh, how some people don't quite get you and they politicize what you do. Do you find that?
Yeah, well, I was like I just feel like I don't think it's my job to define who I am or make it bigger than it is or smaller than it is.
Just put it out there.
Somebody gets something out of it that in the context of their own lives they see, then that's wonderful or terrible, but I can't control it.
Yeah, I think have you ever twisted some person's brain to where they got angry at you? Have you ever had someone stand up in the audience and go, "Hey, what the hell?"
Yeah.
You have?
Well, I have, but I'm not proud of it. I mean, well, sometimes people walk out and people get upset. And it's also hard. Like, I do a lot of racial stuff. And if I'm just doing, a 10 or 15-minute set at the improv,
sure,
it is important, and I've learned this because of that, to balance it. Because, if I go on and do, 90% black jokes or something, it doesn't even out as, when it's all one piece.
You have to be an equal opportunity offender, as Don Rickles said.
Yes, and one night I think I was too much one side, and this 50-year-old black man just hated me. He was just yelling, everything. And
really?
Yeah, and that I was not funny, and I was offensive, and all this stuff. And I know this is wrong, but I told him to, if he had a problem with it, why doesn't he say something to my writer, Paul Mooney? I told him Paul Mooney wrote all my jokes because I knew he definitely knew Paul Mooney. I could tell. And he's like, "He doesn't write for you." And I said, "Yes, he does. He writes all my jokes. So why don't you write a letter to him?"
He probably did. Yo, Paul.
Yeah, it was sleazy.
Now, do you have, you're not married, right? You're just hanging out?
I'm married. I'm common law married. No, pardon. I don't know. No, I don't know. I'm married in my heart.
Oh, really? That's so sweet.
It's not. We don't have the government involved
in it. Did you give him the Tunnel of Like poem?
I should. It's embarrassing.
So your heart has been given to Jimmy Kimmel?
Yes.
The talk show personality.
Totally.
He's got kids.
Yes.
How many?
Two.
How's that? Hanging out with kids, being with a guy that's got kids.
It's good. It's nice, listen.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
But they're really cool kids and
yeah.
He's a good dad, I think.
Do they ever come up to you and go, "Dad kinda sucks"?
No.
No.
Well, he's got a teenage daughter, so she'll be like, "Dad thinks I know what I like, and he doesn't at all."
That's normal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think she thinks of it in an endearing way. Like, he got her a jean jacket that was all bedazzled and everything. And she was like, "I can't." She was giving it stuff away, and she's like, "I can't give this away as much as I'd like to because Dad got it for me." But it's awful.
My mother still insists on sending me things I can't possibly wear. She's made a decision about what I like, and it's never been right. And I have literally a closet full of shirts that are completely unwearable. It's like a shrine to my mommy.
Aww.
Look what she gave me that I can't use.
I think that was probably the plan.
You think so? Just so it's like guilt in the closet. So I open it up and go, see what you're not doing. You also have nieces and nephews, right? You're surrounded by kids.
Yeah. Well, they're all in Massachusetts.
Five. Yeah. Are you going to have kids? Do you want to have kids?
I don't think so.
Really? No go?
I love them, but yeah.
What's the problem?
I'll be honest. I don't want to pass on my genes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid? They're dangerous?
No, I think they're great, but I'm hoarding them. No, I don't. I don't. There's terrible depression in my family, and I can't bear watching it. But maybe I'll adopt, in my 40s or something. I won't rule it out, but I definitely don't want to have kids.
Yeah. You don't strike me as a depressive. Are you? Do you feel depressed sometimes?
No, because I've been taking Zoloft since 93.
Really? Since you were one of the first?
I was a pioneer.
You're like patient zero of Zoloft.
I am. I'm patient zero of a lot of
things. Oh, come on. Since 93 and it's continued working?
It's, a lot of people have to try a million things. No, it was 90, maybe, it was 94 actually.
Yeah.
It worked right away. It was just the perfect fit for me, and I've always been on the lowest dose and...
How does it mix with pot?
It's not bad at all. I have no problems with it with pot.
Yeah?
Yeah. I had a problem with it with ecstasy, but I'm glad that I stopped ecstasy anyway. I feel like I got out of it scot-free.
Yeah, that stuff's kind of nasty,
I
think.
Oh, my God. You know, I read an article. The last time I ever did it, I read an article in Newsweek about it, and I just never did it again. I felt like, oh, my God, I'm...
One of those articles where it's like drains your spinal fluid and...
It just, it wasn't a negative. It just was what it is and what it does and, you know, how, you know what I mean? It was very, didn't seem, you know, skewed in any way. And it was just like, wow, I... Thank God I got, I mean, but I'm sure it still affected me in the long run.
So before we wrap it up, let's, what do you think, like, out of your jokes, because I, you know, I know a lot of your jokes and I was trying to think of some of the jokes and my wife knows a lot of your jokes and we were talking about your jokes.
Mishnah.
Yes. We were talking about your jokes. And out of all the jokes that you've done, which do you think, because I know there was some controversy about something you said on Conan, but I didn't think that was really that controversial.
Boring.
It wasn't
at all.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. But what do you think, which one of your jokes do you think is the one that really screws people up the most, that you know when it's coming out of your mouth that that's the one that are going to make people go, oh, what the? Because I know I have them. You don't have any?
No, I do. There was one that I even stopped doing because it was just too painful and it was like so long for such a short. And it was, I mean, I won't, it was just something about how Bayer Aspirin funded, you know, like medical, you know, like science experiments on Jews in the Holocaust.
Yeah.
How that would, I acted. Aren't I prolific? I'm so articulate.
Yeah, it's great. You should have your own radio show.
You're welcome. I know. I'm really showing you up.
So it was about Bayer Aspirin doing experiments.
Yeah,
on Jesus,
like, you know, my headache is better. You know, it's better than the hunger. It's, you
right,
know,
right.
I feel not as bad as the how much I miss my family. You know, it's.
And you just ditched it altogether?
Yeah.
Because it was too creepy.
It's better than the time I was in labor and you sewed up my vagina.
Oh.
Can I say that?
Sure. You can say vagina.
Yeah, of course.
There's nothing wrong with vagina. It's a clinical term.
It's a beautiful, smelly thing.
Yeah.
That everybody has.
Well, at least, yes, most women have them. And a few men, if they order them, I guess.
Right.
Come on, Sarah.
Thank God.
Tell me about the show and then we'll let you go.
Television show?
Yeah, you're doing a television
show. Like, I have which one?
I know.
No, I don't.
The
only
movie,
have the one.
Stage show, the television show. Because Todd Barry was on, and he's writing for you, and he was kind of cagey about it. It's like, I don't know if I'm allowed. Like, it was top secret. And then he just said, it's about a day in her life.
Yeah, I don't, you know what? I don't think it's top secret. I think he couldn't figure out a way to explain it, which is how I am. And it's not because it's some high concept thing. It's
right.
Just, I don't have someone needs to write a log line or something.
You don't have one?
It's just like a day in my life. It's absurd, but, you know, played small, which is, you know, I like that. The contrast of, you know, and there's usually a song, you know, we're writing six episodes and it's,
okay.
You know,
so there's going to be absurdity, a song. It's a day in your life. So I turn the TV on. It's like you sitting up in bed when the alarm goes off, stretching, going, yay.
Yeah. It's like one episode. I wake up with the blahs. And so I decide, I need some good news. So I get an AIDS test. And, cause of course I don't have AIDS, but then as she's asking me all the questions, I'm like, you know, have you had unprotected sex? And I'm like, no, I haven't, you know? And then she's like, we just use the real questions. Like she says, did you ever have a blood transfusion in the 80s? And I say, yes. And she said, oh, you did? You had a blood transfusion in the 80s? And then I said, oh, no, no, I'm sorry. I thought you said in Haiti.
Okay. Well, that sounds like it's going to be funny.
It's a nice taste, a little flavor.
Thank you very much.
Poking in the door.
Oh, it's Scary Rick Overton here to make us laugh. Well, thank you, Sarah. I hope you enjoyed your time here.
I did. I hope you enjoyed my time.
I did.
Here.
And say hi to Jimmy and his kids. I'm sure he's listening.
Will.
Is he listening? Do you think he would listen?
He is listening. Fact he's listening.
Isn't he going on the air like momentarily?
No, he's off this week.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to do this now, and you're going to sort of walk out and wave nicely.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks,
Sarah
everybody.
Silverman, folks.